It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality?
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour.
Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
There's a new one for you, Jim.
Yeah.
You like that?
That's fine.
It's Steven Tyler.
Uh-huh.
From Aerosmith.
Very cool. Very cool.
I hadn't heard it, I don't know, maybe going back 3 weeks or so. I just ran across it and thought, wow, that's a good 4th of July song.
Yes, indeed.
Right? But Sam's probably mad because it's not Kid Rock, right?
No, I don't care if it could be Rolling Stones. I don't know. I'm Rolling Stones as much as I Kid Rock.
Sam Scarmardo is here. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. You're running for city council?
City council, yeah.
What did you think of the forum the other night?
I thought it sucked, frankly. Were you going to be quite honest with it? I mean, you know,
can
a bunch
you give
of
me
questions.
An, can you give me an honest
three-part, opinion? Yeah, a bunch of three-part questions with... With 45 seconds to answer? Come on, get serious.
You asked me if they switched up the questions on me?
And I'll tell you what, There's nothing that can convince me in the world that Cal and Jenny didn't have the questions beforehand.
Oh.
I don't think they did, but, I mean, that's your opinion.
No, not when you snap off answers that quick that are absolutely perfect.
Yeah, sometimes I think during a campaign you have – set answers when you hear certain words. You can, boom. You know what I mean? There's a nomenclature that's involved with city politics.
Put your finger on the button. So the best I can do is BS.
Does that make sense, though? Oh, man, I better start that thing up.
Late with the button.
Well, BS isn't a bad word.
No.
It's two letters in the alphabet. Two out of 26, 1/13 of the alphabet.
Right. So you were pretty candid, though, during the whole event. I think people appreciated that.
Well, that's what I am. I don't lie to people. I don't lie to the candidates. I don't lie to the voters. I never did after 4 years on council before and two and a half years of being vice mayor, you know, for Melanie Ginstead Zanex.
You haven't heard that one?
No.
Oh, yeah. That was a monthly staple here for a while.
Very good.
Absolutely. So you're the candidate. What does your commercial say? Not stingy. There's another word for it.
Well, stingy is part of it. The first word is fiscal hawk.
Fiscal hawk. What makes you a fiscal hawk, Sam?
Because I don't like spending money. I don't like spending my money, and I don't like spending your taxpayers' money.
Okay. If you were to spend it, what would you spend it on?
It would be on for needs, not wants.
I see.
See, we've got the problem with the city council. We've got this... $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $5 million, $8 million park that's not finished yet. It's got sunshades that don't shade any sun. They got a toilet that they lock up, a public toilet, which made a whole lot of sense because now they had to put a porta potty outside the $250,000 toilet.
We're talking about the commons.
Yes, I recognize that. It seems like a rather large building for one or two units. that are three units, whatever is in that.
What was your experience with the Commons during Desert Storm?
Well, in regards to the venue itself, none of the amenities that are for enhancing the venue, such as the toilets and the little utility room thing, are of benefit to large events like ours.
Oh.
They're a detriment to large events like ours.
There you go.
We were doing fine without them. The park, the appearance of it and stuff is great. I think it's designed for small functions.
Okay.
And so $8 million we wasted on small functions is what it was.
Where did $8 million come from?
$7.7 million.
Where did that number come from? I haven't even heard that number.
From two anonymous city council members.
Two anonymous. Okay. I hadn't heard that number. I've heard 1.9 in the city. General fund was 800,000 or 900,000, something like that. But some America's, what was it, America's Best?
Oh, yeah. ABC, America's Best Cities.
Yeah, that competition.
I went to that twice. I was invited to be on the thing. I went to it twice, and every time I brought up, we had all the usual lefties and people who were on city-funded and publicly funded committees.
What about money for the second bridge? Because that's going to be in the next council.
Okay,
for
but
sure.
See that refers back 30
wants
years.
Wants and needs.
Yeah.
Well, okay. No. That's definitely a need. But 30 years ago, like one of the first things we did when I got elected and got sworn in was we started the fund with $1 million per year to build the bridge,
okay,
which was going to cost $22 million at that point in time. So we've wasted $10 million of possible use of public funds. Mm-hmm. And when I got off council, we had $3.3 million in the bank to go for the bridge. What happened to the next city council? They redirected that elsewhere for some other wants, not needs. I'm sure it's a ballet lessons for somebody or whatever.
Wow.
Sam, how long ago was it that you were on the council?
26 years ago I got off. 30 years ago I was elected. 30 years ago right now, I was campaigning to get elected to city council.
There's been a lot of talk recently by some of the candidates that downtown needs a little beautification. Where are you on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like beautiful. To clarify, you mean like better trees than the ones that they promised us? Having just recently sold a business on Main Street, it was supposed to have palm trees, not the yellow flinging, filthy trees that are down there right now, which break off in a strong wind. We were supposed to have palm trees in every one of those holes. And then you had everybody's hero, what the hell was his name, that died last year, and it was like the city nearly shut down. The mayor was, the current mayor was singing his accolades and, what's his name?
I don't know. I don't know.
Fiend.
Oh, Dean Barlow.
Dean Barlow,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, got you.
He wanted to make Main Street a walking Main Street. And I said, well, I have a gun store. He said, well, you can park all the way down in the parking lots behind the stores. I said, you got an acre behind my store that nobody wants and you could buy for $59,000. Well, you know, we don't want to spend money on something like that. So I said, so you'd rather just have people walk three blocks down the street with a gun in their hand.
So a pedestrian-style Main Street? Is that what we're talking about?
Strictly close it off and be a pedestrian.
Oh, no driving at all?
No.
That's tough with the grade that it has, I think.
Yeah.
That's a pretty steep grade for some people.
Sure. I mean, going downhill is fine. Going west is fine. Coming back up again, you're going to have some kind of gurneys to carry people up.
or what do they call that? One of those moving walkways.
Oh, right? Escalator.
Yeah, there's money.
Huh?
There's money right there, right?
There you go. Look at all the money we saved.
What about, how do you feel about shoreline access, preserving shoreline
access? I'm 100% for shoreline access. We got kind of, and this goes to the point where we do any kind of development anymore, the stuff that they promise has got to be in writing and a contract. Like, you know, my council okayed the foothills, but they were supposed to be, and he's a great guy, a good Korean guy, I don't speak Korean, I speak a little bit of Vietnamese and a little bit of Thai, but, you know, it's a Korean I don't speak at all. So he was a nice guy, hard to understand, but he promised a school, a firehouse, and four parks. I was up the other day, and the parks are the size of this table.
Wow.
And there's only one of them, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the candidates forum. I thought that was pretty interesting. I had never heard that before.
And then the development on the, you know, the north side, the land side of the channel on north of the English village there. They built those condos and they were supposed to be 30 foot setback. Man, that's the tiniest little 30 feet I've ever seen in my life. They're about 12 or 15 feet setback from the water. See, and they promised us, verbally promised us, they didn't live to it. So any kind of a thing you do, they did the same thing in Riviera. That's not my city council. But on the island, the homes developed on the island, they were supposed to be with the Venetian flavor. Channels, you know, little channels between all the houses, which would have been very expensive. You know, to me, I thought that's a waste of ground. But, you know, the point, you could put a little more room between the houses. I think they're about 6 feet between each other for $500,000 for a piece of dirt.
True.
And, you know, I don't know what's going on. See, I went down and visited Riviera the other day, just drove around Riviera, and I don't think anybody living there yet. They've built 10 houses or something, or 8 houses or 10 houses, but I don't think they're occupied.
There are some sold, though, aren't there?
Supposedly.
Yeah, I guess true.
Well, there you go. We have a call on the Speak Out line, 928-854-5687. Let's go ahead and take that call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, this is Kenny in Yucca.
Hey, Kenny, what's happening?
I just wanted to address Sam's concerns. You know, I'm not a Havasu resident. I live 30 miles out of town. My concern about all of this that's going on in our county is the concept of allegiance. There doesn't seem to be the required allegiance to any of the projects and causes that the authorities agree to from time to time.
And that's why we have to change the authorities.
And I was just wondering if maybe addressing the notion of allegiance to projects, that perhaps we could carry through on the original plans rather than get them changed along the way.
And that's pretty much what I said.
Kenny, you called on Friday also. Is this that was in regard, you were saying, to also the Pledge of Allegiance, right?
Yes, Mike
Ganuccio.
Ganuccio.
Ganuccio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd had a conversation with him a few years back when he was running against Sheriff Schuster, and I was very impressed with his activities and his allegiance to the county and to the to what's right, and that's why I brought that word up then.
Okay.
Is because he's been steadfast at it ever since I've known him, and that's why I'm doing what I can to support his election here for what he's running for.
Okay. So let's get Sam's opinion, and you said you were going to listen off the air?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Kenny. Go ahead, Sam.
Regarding which part, the Pledge of Allegiance?
No. Allegiance to the principles that,
I think
that
pretty much said that. I said that at the forum the other day. And, you know, the city is what you're representing. I mean, the pay is pocket change is what it is for all intents and purposes. It's considerably more than when I was on city council, but it was a net loser for 4 years for me, in the past. But, you know, I want to see, I'm going to die here and be buried or cremated or something here. Mm-hmm. I want this place to be the best city you can be. I want,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, somebody waved something white in front of my face that just distracted me slightly.
It's just handing me a piece of paper, that's all.
Anyway, you know, I'm my allegiance is to the city, and it's to the people, the citizens thereof, and you know, I want to see the best for everything. You'd mentioned amenities on Main Street,
right?
And, you know, right now, what do we have on Main Street that's good-looking and beautiful? Nothing.
Yeah.
We can't even keep the damn street paved.
Well, I think it's interesting. It started on the arch, right?
Yeah. I was on that board. I was on that board when that happened.
What happened?
They only had X amount of dollars, and I don't remember the dollar figure, But they were going to do that, then they were going to take up a collection and build the arch, the span that goes across, and then build one in the parking lot by Bash's, basically, you know, a couple hundred feet above Acoma on Main Street.
Okay.
And that's about as far as it went. And we've got one guy that's very artistically oriented there. So it's...
So that's more of a want than a need, right?
That's definitely a want. Besides, it wasn't public funding. The only thing public funding on that was they were all complaining that it needed to be rusty colored.
Okay.
So I called the fire chief, who I think was Bergman at the time, and I told him, do me a favor, have your guys come out when you're not doing anything and spray those two towers down with water, will you? So they'll rust, because I'm being as we're not having any rain on the direct. Just have them spray them. So they came out with a fire truck and pumped water all over the columns so that they got that nice rusty color that they wanted. And that's all the public dollars that went into that archway.
Okay.
So, Sam, reference you made to the like developer promises that were made and not lived up to, were those like in the developers pitching to the council?
Yeah, exactly.
And they made statements that
absolutely
influenced
statements,
the
but
voting.
Apparently, you know, verbal to the according to the legal, this worthless city attorney we had at the time. You know, she actually went and preached at meetings against me when I was running for re-election.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Her and the city manager at the time.
How do you... go ahead.
Yeah, they didn't want me to get re-elected. So, you know, that if nothing else, that's an endorsement.
I once worked for somebody like that. them saying bad about you was an endorsement. Something bad about
good.
You. All right, we're going to take a short break. I want to find out Sam's opinion on the economic development in this town, along with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, right? Go Lake Havasu.
Yeah, all right. We'll go on that one, all right.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we come back. Give us a call, 928-854-5687. Looks like we have a text. I'll check that out during the break as well. And we'll be back with more on Speak Out in a moment. And Jim Russell is here, co-host,
you
always.
You bet.
You got the AIDS turned up, right?
Uh-huh.
All right.
What? Who said that?
Yeah, exactly. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Welcome back to Speak Out. We're with Sam Scarmardo, candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. Show brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, and from the mind of Dallas Finch, oh, Lord, I can only imagine what happens here, right? Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo, great pizza, sandwiches, and salads, home to the Booby Dropper, Main Street, Havasu. And we do have a text. Actually, we have two texts for you, Sam.
Wow.
We got Kenny as a caller, and we got Sam getting questions left and right here. What would you think of electing Planning and Zoning Commission instead of the conflict of interest appointed type of members now?
100% for it.
They wrote conflict of interest. I didn't add that. So
just well, it's a conflict of interest. Absolutely.
How so?
Because they're all contractors. I mean, the chairman is a good friend of mine, too. He's my lookalike. You know, when I first moved here, we looked exactly the same. But, you know, and I just got better looking.
And, okay.
And, you know, he's been, the chairman for like 20 years or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, on and off, he's been the chairman since I was on council. So, anyway.
I know one of our current councilmen came from planning and zoning, right?
Right.
Right.
Dave, I think. He was the chairman, I believe. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, for a while.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, and I'd be 100% for it. You know, when you're in the position of spending taxpayers' dollars, voters' dollars, you ought to be able to point out who you want. For instance, we've got you said you were going to talk about planning and zoning. Go Lake Havasu.
Economic development and in Go Lake Havasu. You want to move on to that?
Whatever.
Well, you just started another thought, so I was just letting you finish.
No, that's it. That's fine.
Okay. How do you feel about the economic development, the PED? Do you think they should stay the way they are or go in-house?
They go in-house, 100%.
That's growing government, but tell me why.
Well, that's because, as it is right now, they don't do anything. If we have a couple hours here, I can tell you all kinds of stories when I was on that board. I was on the PED board, and I brought in several events when they were all poo-pooed. And the Go Lake Havasu / Tourism CVB, and it's gone through several name changes in the last 30 years, but it was CVB, or Tourism CVB, when I was a...
Convention Visitors Bureau, right?
Yeah.
I remember.
And I was on that board, and I was on PED board, and I was on the Chamber board, and I was on pretty much every board you got here in town. But I worked with two things, particularly which rankles me to this point, was I just remember the figure $8 million. I worked with tourism, and Bonnie Barsness, who was a sweetheart. I mean, she was a very nice person, very sweet person. And any rate, she just had this kind of like Kansas attitude about stuff, because I get with the wrangled run what you brung, which was people coming here and racing their motorcycles. And when I brought that up at the chamber board, at the tourism board, it was like I had dumped a spittoon on the table.
Wow.
It was like, she said, that's not the crowd we want to attract.
Oh.
I says, you obviously haven't priced a new motorcycle or seen the collection of motorcycles when people ride to these motorcycle bars. There, most of them are doctors and lawyers and fairly wealthy, because you can't put your hands on a new Harley for under $30,000, $20,000
bucks. Yeah.
You know, now it's close to $50,000 for a new Harley.
Wow.
So, I know we can buy a used one pretty cheap. I'm selling mine because nobody wants to ride anymore. At any rate, that was like, they said, that's not the crowd we want to attract. Then another one is I work with Society for Correct Constrictive Anachronism, which was SCA. And they dress, they put the swords and sandals and stuff like that. You know, they run around, and they're the one that do the big festival down on west of Phoenix. What do they call those things? You know, where they joust and sword fight and all that. Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
They do the one that was here. I don't know if we still have it here in Lake Havasu or what.
Yeah, we still have
it. We do. It's just not, it was really big where the dog park is by the bridge at that time. You know, and they didn't have a dog park there then. And they jousted in the whole nine yards and sword fight. At any rate, they were going to bring in from someplace back east a bunch of Vikings and Viking boats. Sail them in from Thompson Bay into the channel and, you know, sack the village. And,
wow.
And we had 42 minutes on ESPN for free.
Mm-hmm.
30 years ago, that would be worth millions then. It'd be worth lots of millions now.
Yeah.
And that was nothing. That's nothing. I says, you got the English Village Bridge here, the London Bridge. You know, I'm sure somewhere in the history of the five London bridges, they were sacked and attacked by Vikings. And it was just like, I wasted months getting that one here. And I wasted weeks getting the Run What You Brung one. And when I told you, remember the $8 million figure? That's what Avi netted last year from the Run What You Brung.
Oh, okay. So we got to wrap this up because we have another guest coming in. She's running for Legislative District 30, State Rep Grace Hecht. Tell everybody why they should vote for Sam Scarmato for City Council.
Well, because first of all, and there is a candidate that's running right now who's slavishly addicted to tourism / Go Lake Havasu, and I think they need to go in house. I'm not going to mention names, anything like that.
Okay.
But I have the most experience, with the exception of Michelle Lynn and Jenny Koch. I would have most experience of any of the candidates that are on here. And I was vice mayor for 3.5 years. And at that point in time, I was running all kinds of campaigns for people. And you know, I've obviously been here longer, 38 years. Had a business for 27 years on Main Street, which I just sold. And in December, and you know, I think when it gets down to the bottom line, I got the best mental sentimental orientation towards Lake Havasu City.
I see. Okay.
You know, I'm not the best looking one of the bunch, and
you don't have the most hair either.
No, I definitely don't have the hair. If it goes on lack of follicles, then I will definitely win.
You might have the best mustache though. I don't know.
You know, it was much longer until my granddaughter pulled the whole right side of it off one time.
Ouch. All right. Yeah. Sam, always good to talk to you. Thank you for coming in.
Sure.
Appreciate it. And don't
You're
forget,
more than
folks,
welcome.
Early voting starts on Wednesday.
Right.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did, yes.
I try not to promote it, but I kind of have to. So.
You know, I've never voted until voting day.
Same with me.
Back in Chicago, when what was that worthless peanut farmer's name?
Jimmy Carter?
Jimmy Carter ran. Mm-hmm. I waited in line downtown Chicago at the Daily Center shortly before the Blues Brothers destroyed it. And I was in that movie, by the way.
You told me. Sam, I got to let you go.
Well, you don't let me finish?
Yeah, go. Okay, finish. But okay. Make it in like 15 seconds, please.
Okay. Well, I'll just save that for the next visit. Am I going to be in again before the election, or is this it?
I think this is it. So you might want to finish.
Oh, okay. Well, it slipped my mind, whatever I was going to say.
Okay.
Appreciate just get out and vote for Sam. That's the highest qualified, highly qualified candidate for city council, and I am dedicated to the city.
Perfect. All right.
And lots of time to work on it now that you're sold your store.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay tuned. We have Grace Hecht coming in next on Speak Out, 928-854-5687. Back on Speak Out. Brother Jim Russell is here.
Yes, indeed so.
Grace Hecht is here.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's a little bit. Let's see. I'll get her boosted up there. There you go. Try that.
Thank you for having me.
Much better.
That sounds much more important.
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooters Outpost, by Solar Power, by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City, and A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. And it's your second time in the chair.
It is, yeah. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, welcome back to Havasu. It's been like less than a week since you've been here, right? You put a lot of miles on the car going all over the district.
And yeah.
Where were you on Saturday?
On Saturday, we were in Meadview.
Meadview?
Meadview, yep.
What was it? Okay, what was in Meadview?
So this lady that lives there in Meadview, her name's Connie. She mm-hmm. did a great job putting, there were all five LD30 candidates. There was a judge that's running, and then two corporation commission people that were also running. So it was very informative, and it's absolutely beautiful out there.
It really is.
Cool. Yeah.
Have you been to Meadview?
So many Joshua trees.
No, I don't think
trees.
I ever have.
It's like it's untouched almost, isn't it?
It's like you're on another planet with all the Joshua trees. It's so beautiful. It's the entrance to Grand Canyon West. So you have Dolan Springs, Meadview, and that whole community really survives on the lake and Grand Canyon West and things like that. So I had about an hour conversation with Supervisor Martin before I went out there. And
Don Martin?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And he actually goes out there and goes fishing. He has a little house out there. And so, you know, as I'm running for LD30, I think just one of the main things that's important is really getting to know the supervisors that represent these different areas, because I unfortunately had never been to Meadview before,
yeah.
Like your other guest here. Mm-hmm. And so the best way that I can get to know the needs of those communities is to get to know the supervisors and the community leaders like Connie. And so Supervisor Martin was able to tell me that Representative Biasucci as well as Senator Angus really pushed this last budget to be able to get $500,000 movable ramp, because as the lake keeps receding, you know, they need an access, because that's how most, you know, most people go through those small communities to get to the lake. That's how these small communities survive. And so I just thought that was wonderful, you know, that they worked. And then Senator Angus, who's also endorsing me, she said, you know, the previous budget year, not this one, but the one before, there was a surplus. And so then everybody fights over that money. But she said this year there wasn't a surplus. So really you're just fighting for your things not to get cut. Something that they tried to cut was a stoplight in Colorado City. And she said out of all the things over all the state, you want to try and cut this one stoplight in Colorado City that desperately needs it.
Right.
And so that's really, really important to have people that stay in communication with these small community city councils as well as the supervisors so that you know what they want you to fight for.
Right. You have contacts here on the current city council in Havasu too, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who do you think you work with the most?
So because I was on the city council in Bullhead for 3 years, I went to the League of Cities and Towns conventions. I went to ICSC, which all the cities and towns go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very good friends with Michelle Lynn. Her and I have a very similar heart for our communities.
Sure.
And then David Diaz is endorsing me, and he's just a powerhouse here in your community. And so I'm very honored for that. Michelle hasn't endorsed me. She's just a good friend, but David has endorsed me, and I'm very thankful for his support.
What were some of the what were some of the main concerns coming out of Saturday's town hall in Meadview? Do they have the same concerns as the rest of the district, maybe?
No, you know, every district is very, very different. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they have a basin there that's pretty secure, and they don't have as many people dipping their straws into that basin. And so maybe water wasn't something that we talked about as much as in different areas. But their community is 33% veterans. They have no public transportation. They really have no health care out there. And, you know, their roads can get a little bit bumpy.
Oh, sure. especially after storms, right?
Yeah. So, you know, just having those advocates in their community. And when you go into these unincorporated areas, all they have is their supervisor. Even Fort Mojave, Mojave Valley, Topoc, they have Ron Gould. That is it.
Mm.
And then they have their legislators. So if you want to get something done, you really better know who is representing you and have a good working relationship with them. Otherwise, I mean, who are you going to ask to fix anything?
Right.
How graphic your example of that stoplight is to the importance of, good heavens, how can you keep track of little things like that that are so little in the grand scheme but so important to,
exactly,
to that community?
It's so extremely important to that community. You know, there are kids that cross the road there to get to school, and as Zion National Park is going to be closing a road, and a whole bunch of traffic is going to be diverted through Colorado City.
Oh.
And they need better infrastructure there. Everywhere that I've gone across our district, infrastructure is really a big, big issue that they want us to fight for them for. Oh. And having a good relationship with ADOT and all of these state agencies is so incredibly important.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that closure. Is that the toll road that you're talking about that goes through Zion?
Yeah, they're going to be just diverting a lot of traffic.
Wow.
And when I was there this last time, I've been there five times. When I went there this last time, Dale, who's running for city council, he took me, it's called Rose Canyon, and there's a two-lane road, and there is like what's that called when you have like a really sharp turn, blind corner,
hairpin,
that's it. Hairpin turns and blind corners. He said he's hit seven deers in the last year.
Wow.
And so you think about these things, and the state doesn't know what it looks like or that there's deer, but the locals do. And so those are big, big issues that, I mean, if you're on a two-lane road coming in back from Zion and you hit a deer and you have a motorhome and 10 cars behind you, you're stuck for a long time. So Yeah, really.
I've been stuck on the road from on the highway. In fact, I-40 from Seligman. If there's a if there's a crash middle of the night, you're done for, man. You know,
spend the night.
Yeah, almost an hour and a half to 2 hours. Oh. That's for sure. How up are you on the water issues that we were talking about on Friday when one of your competitors was here?
Yeah. So. I'm thankful to be endorsed by Supervisor Holly Irwin that called in, and also Regina Cobb. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to stay up to date on those issues because, you know, like we talked about before, every district, every area is different. And so, you know, for the cities and towns that are on the river, like Lake Havasu, like Bullhead, just in 2025, you know, the city council's really had to work hard so that Queen Creek wouldn't take some of our fourth priority water. And so we have, even though we have water and we have this beautiful lake, there's a picture here in your studio, we have to fight to keep what's ours. And in the basin, we really need to fight in La Paz for rural groundwater management. Okay. You know, the state wants to come in and put in an AMA. Well, that's an active management area, or an INA, where it's this overarching control where the state and Phoenix has control. Well, what I've talked to Supervisor Lingenfelter and Supervisor Irwin, who are both really, really up to date on their water issues, and they said, we need rural groundwater management where people, like smaller committees, five people that are really in those communities can be the ones that are saying this is what we need and this is what we don't need, because all over our district it's different. The issues they're facing in Kingman are different than the ones they're facing in La Paz. And so having that local control is so incredibly important.
Is that similar to what you have in Mojave Valley then? You have the Irrigation Drainage District, right? Are there board members on that district?
I don't know.
Okay. I think there are. Anyway, there are so many different, even just this last 3 months, you're talking about partnerships or routing water from a desal plant in Baja by Rocky Point. You're talking about partnerships with Clark County and San Diego now with a desal plant and recharging Lake Mead that way. How do you feel about some of these issues when it comes to those desalination plants becoming part of the equation? And then you have the upper basin states and the lower basin states, and there's no agreement whatsoever there, and a very important deadline coming. Where are you at on all that?
So a lot of those things, because we haven't been able to come to an agreement with all of the basins, or the upper and lower, mm-hmm. basically, like, they gave us the opportunity to fix this problem, but we weren't able to fix it. So then the federal government steps in, and as I think we all agree, that's probably never the best solution. So, you know, the thing is, the desal, I'm all for that. Like, we need to find a solution. Mm-hmm. But we also need to find a solution right now, right? In La Paz, there are these corporations that are coming in and buying up this land and then, you know, planting alfalfa and then selling it overseas. That is something that we need to fix right now, because when you go and buy land in our district, and if you're not in an AMA, an active management area, or an INA, then you could really, you could get a section of land. I think Supervisor Lingenfelter said it's 5 acres. You can drop a well, and you can pump as much as you want. There's no regulations.
Wow.
So with a rural groundwater management, you would be able to have some say-so, or at least observe what they're taking and how much, so that you can keep better track of how much water is in the basin. So I know that they're working on that this last legislative session, but it didn't go anywhere. And so, you know, a lot of times what I've heard is that when you get up there to the state, there's really nothing new under the sun, right? You're going to have bills that have come up and there was a word or something wasn't phrased right and it didn't make it to committee. Or there were so many bills that it didn't make it. So we need to look through these things, stop sending bills up to the governor that we know are going to get vetoed and just waste a whole bunch of time. But also, as I was speaking with Senator Inga, she said, you have to be very careful about the bills that you push, right? But you also have to look at all the bills, because just as important is the bills that you kill. So making sure that if there is a bill that's coming from the left or even coming from the right, but that it could hurt our district, we have the power to kill something that could negatively impact. And that's also just as powerful.
I want to put out the phone number if you want to talk to Grace Heck, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR is the number, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. Now, a couple of people have asked the question, you have kids and a husband at home. How old are your kids?
My daughter turned 6 on June 30th, and my other daughter just turned 8.
What they asked me to ask you, how do you plan to balance that, the family, the travel requirements for this position, this legislative job are crazy. You know, most come back on Friday, go back on Monday. They come back on Friday, they go back to Phoenix on Monday. Mm-hmm. How do you plan to balance all that?
So I'm very thankful to have a very supportive husband. When Senator Angus called and she told me that she wasn't running again and she asked me to consider running, you know, I spoke to my husband and prayed about it. And we both agreed that this is something that I would be very good at. And to have the support of my husband and my family, it's so incredibly important. And yes, we have younger children, but you know what? I was just researching, you know, what are the average age of people in the legislature? And for women, it's about 60 years old.
Wow.
And so I think that at all levels of government, it's very important that you have people of different ages, different life, you know, different professions, all of those things, because the decisions that are made at these different levels affect families. And so I'm very thankful to be a mom and to give that example to my children. And as far as the logistics of going back and forth, I have a car and I would have to get an apartment. You know, Senator Angus said, you know, it really bothered her to drive at night. It doesn't bother me. So, and the session, this is something I brought up at the last forum, but it's supposed to go only 100 days. Unfortunately, it gets pushed out way too often. And there's actually legislation, I think it might even be a ballot initiative, that if it goes past 100 days, that the legislators won't get paid, because to get this position, it pays only $24,000 a year. And then you get a per diem, which is about $250. But if you add that all up, it's only about $56,000 for our rural area. And you have to pay for your gas. You have to pay for the wear and tear in your car. You have to get an apartment. I mean, there's all these expenses. So if you were to keep it to just that 100 days from January until, let's say, May or June, my kids are in school for that time as well. And they go to school Monday through Thursday. So the legislature, at least here in Arizona, was created for people to come and do this. You want to spend more time in your district than you do at the Capitol. And so I'm committed to do that. And
I got about three minutes left. What would you think of some sort of electronic attendance, you know, as far as Zoom meetings, especially for some of these committee meetings? It seems like you're there. You're not really voting on legislation, but participation would be necessary as far as remotely.
Well,
do you think that would work?
I don't know, because I've sat in some of those committee meetings and they have people that are sitting there and they have expended a lot of time and energy to get up there and to use their couple of minutes that they have. So although I like the idea of it reverse, right? If you're somebody calling in like a request to speak from a rural area, but as a legislator, I know what I signed up for when I ran for this position, and okay. Senator Angus has almost had perfect attendance,
right,
so
right.
I want to be there. I know what this job was when I signed up, and I think it's important that if somebody came to speak to me, I'm going to be there to listen to them.
That's a good point.
Very nice.
Tell everybody why they should vote for Grace Hecht for Legislative District 30 State Representative. This is your last time on before the election.
It is, yeah. So I am the only candidate born and raised right here in Mojave County. I was on city council for 3 years, so I have gone through that budget line by line. Everything that I am hearing from every community that I go to is that they want local control. They don't want legislators telling local cities and supervisors what to do. They want to have a seat at the table. They want a representative that understands what it means to have had it thrust on us at the local level. So I'm very pleased to be endorsed by Senator Angus, Regina Cobb, and also the Arizona Troopers, State Troopers Association. Fighting for our rural Arizona is incredibly important to me, and that's what I'll do every day.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in again.
Yeah, my
appreciate
pleasure.
It. Jim hadn't met you yet.
No.
Nice to meet you.
Jim's not just a guest, by the way. He's a co-host.
Oh.
On Monday.
Yeah. For the last 25 years.
Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing.
We don't pay him or anything. No. He just keeps coming back.
Yeah, just hang on to the chair.
Right, exactly. Grace, thanks again. We appreciate you.
My pleasure.
All
have
right.
A good day.
Grace Hecht, again, running for Legislative District 30 State Representative. And I'm going to go straight to the top of the hour.
Okay, do
we'll,
it.
We'll have Sean Hannity after news and a short break. And join us tomorrow on Speak Out. We'll see you then.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.